Chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. And because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. There was no beauty in him that we desire.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You are despised, rejected, put to shame.
Amen.
He was smote. Lord, there was no beauty that we could desire when we look up to thee. You were fully covered by our iniquities.
Amen.
You were despised, beaten, insulted, murdered, slaughtered, killed for me, for my sin, for my salvation. Lord, you have humbled us forever.
Amen.
By the agape. You have humiliated us forever by the mercy that endureth forever.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for separating us from lack of understanding. And thank you, Lord, for establishing us on the foundation of thy understanding.
Amen.
The truth that for whom we are all created, the truth by whom we are all created,
Amen.
The truth in whom we are all created, and the truth for whom we are all created.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the truth. You are the
Amen.
Way, you are the life, and you are our everything, O Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for revealing this greatest treasure that any man can find.
Amen.
Identifying who is the Creator.
Praise
understanding who is the Creator.
Praise
and Lord, here we are, O Lord, walking in this wilderness, bearing the cross of thy shame.
Amen.
The shame of our sins. We bear the very own shame of our very own life. And Lord, may you bless every one of us here today, O Lord, that we do not live a life for our namesake. We live and die for the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We do not, O Lord, offer sacrifices for our own life, But we offer our very own life as that sacrifice, O Lord. Wash us, Lord, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, soak us, Lord, by the divine presence of thy Holy Ghost. And Lord, prune us, Lord, chasten us, O Lord, encourage us, Lord. Do whatever you want, O Lord, that we will abide under the perfect will of God Almighty. God of Abraham, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us thus far. And Lord, we know, Lord, for sure, the foundation that is sure will take us home, O Lord. Not by power, not by might, but by the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, the name, the beautiful name that we all cry unto thee, Abba Father. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we never stay out of the dependency of you. For you are the Father who takes care of the children. You love us more than we could understand, O Lord. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. And Lord, you have proved us that you are the only Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the fullness of God that dwelt in the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the beauty of God that is, O Lord, beautifully shining from the image of God. And Lord, we are all called to conform to that image of Jesus Christ, the blessed Redeemer, the Holy One, the Mighty One, the only King, the true living God. We humbly submit and surrender at thy feet. May you bless us that we change from glory to glory, that it is Christ in me and I don't see myself. Help us, Lord, to disappear in the ocean of the agape love. We do not want to be our own river. We do not want to be our own lake. We don't want to be our own fountain. But rather, O Lord, we would want to be that single drop that disappeared in the ocean of God's love, O Lord, that we cannot find ourselves back. Help us, Lord, that we are lost in thee. And that is the only way, O Lord, we can find thee, O Lord. For you are all in all. I pray for the Lord's mighty hand upon every brother, every sister, every son, every daughter, every prince, every king, every priest, every saint, every servant, whatever, whomever, however that you are going to use. Fill everyone, O Lord, with the power of thy anointing, that they may be a powerful witness unto thee throughout the corners of this land. We bless one another in the name of our Lord. For the peace of God to rest upon every one of us.
Amen.
Lord, we invite thee to your house. This is your house.
Amen.
We invite thee, O Lord, to walk in the midst of us because
Amen.
We are yours, O Lord. I pray for the Shekinah glory to be upon the tabernacle
Amen.
Of the Lord's congregation. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and was esteemed not by us. We esteemed him not. We saw different tombs of Jewish culture last week. And we saw there was a big stone, a great stone that covered the tomb. And before the tomb was covered, the body was prepared, depends on how they died. Was it because of leprosy? Was it because of some sickness? Was it because of some wounds from the battle? Or was it because of the spiritual wounds from the spiritual battle of righteousness? What happened to Jesus Christ, who was broken, torn, so that we all would get every single drop of his blood? So the Lord sent two people to go and clean his body and to cover him according to the Jewish traditions so that they can put him in the tomb. The same way Mary and Joseph covered him when he was born,
The difference is that was a body, a tabernacle, without the glory of the Lord descending. That was the birth. But in the river of Jordan, he was a man ready to perform the final sacrifice, the only sacrifice, after serving God Almighty, the Father in heaven, for 3 years. And after the 3 years ministry, Cain jumped over Abel and killed Abel. So what is Cain? Your serpentine nature, my serpentine nature. Your sin, my sin. Your iniquities, my iniquities. So you and me, we killed the Lord, the Prince of Life, the only Redeemer, the only Savior, because we were all blinded. We could not understand the mystery of God, so we were all enemies in the mind of God. Why? Truth cannot love falsehood. Love cannot love hatred. Lack of understanding cannot have any communion with the true understanding. So the Lord called all of us that you are not my enemies anymore, but I'm revealing to thee the truth. You are my children. My seed is in thee. But it was done in the most painful, tragic manner. The lamb was sacrificed even in a more tragic fashion from the Old Testament. How come the body of Christ in the physical form was covered by two people by linen clothes in a physical form? We haven't reached the spiritual realm yet. The Lord sent two to receive the body from the man who washed his hands away from crucifixion, Pilate. He insisted him and he got the body and he wrapped and put it inside the prison. After they cleaned everything, wrapped him up, placed him on the bench, and they closed the stone, the great stone. So now the prisoner is inside the prison without windows because there was nothing to breathe. If you assume your face as a prison, your nose is the window. I breathe in, I breathe out. But actually, I'm not escaping. I'm just inside. My understanding is inside. But I'm breathing in, breathing out. But my mouth is my door. From this door, words of life can come. Words of death can come. Words of anger can come. Words of love and comfort can come. It depends on me because I'm the king of my city. I can release the prisoners who are wicked, evil, having disciple thoughts, or I can release the prisoners who are nothing but the bondservants of Christ in me, which is nothing but the words of the Lord. So I am the prison keeper of my prison. I can release whatever I want. But not all the prisons glorify the name of the Lord. Not all the words glorify the name of the Lord. But I am allowed to breathe because of the window on my nose, on my face. I can breathe. I have to breathe. But in the prison, there was a dead body. So it's always sealed because the smell will come out if they put a window. When Lazarus died, Jesus intentionally came after a few days. He waited for the body to decay and create a mess. When? Only when you open the door. Until they opened the stone, the body of Lazarus, the bad smell of the dead meat would not come out because it is sealed, contained inside. When Jesus tells them, take the stone away, they opened and the Bible says there was a very bad smell. Not the sweet aroma when the woman broke the alabaster box. The sweet aroma filled the house. This one, they opened the door, unbearable aroma filled the environment because it's a dead meat. Jesus was able to raise a man even in that state of being miserable. He told him to just come out and he walked himself outside. And the Lord said, no, you are not a prisoner anymore for death. From now on, you are a prisoner to me, life. My brethren, the life that we live has given us two choices. Either you are a prisoner of life or you are a prisoner of death. Either I live for my Lord who also put me in the prison, I cannot escape the boundary of the Word of God. The Word of God is my prison. It tells me what to do, what not to do. It tells me how far I can grow. It also tells me how should I breathe in, how should I breathe out. David went inside Jerusalem. David went out Jerusalem. David died not. Aaron the high priest went inside tabernacle. Aaron the high priest went out of tabernacle. Aaron died not. Moses went up to the mountain, spent time with God. Moses came down. Moses died not. There was always an in, out. Jesus went inside the prison as a dead body, and he came out resurrected as a glorious Jesus Christ who can give every one of us what he received by the perfect will of Father in heaven, God Almighty. That power of resurrection is the only key the Lord has given to every one of us to unlock the door of death. So now, many people died since the creation of man, starting from Abel, the first one to be successfully killed. And after that, death started eating people one by one. Many people died. Adam could not escape. Eve could not escape. Everyone became a victim of the beast called death. It eats people. But then, in the book of Revelation, the Lord asked a question, death, where is your sting? You are always biting my people, putting the poison in their body. But I have given my body. The body of Christ is the Lord's gift to the church. And he told all of us, I am the head. And the Lord asked death, where is your sting? I heard you are the greatest prison that has ever put humanity in captivity of death. But where is your lock? Where is your gate? The Lord has another name, breaker of the chains. Amen? Amen. He also breaks the doors. He don't simply open the door. He breaks the doors. So now, my brethren, when the Lord told Israel, from the prisons of Egypt, I am releasing you to the wilderness of freedom. Then from the wilderness of freedom, I am putting you back in the prison of promised land. So the Lord said, you cannot serve Mammon, you cannot serve the world and serve me at the same time. So let there be a gap of huge wilderness so that you don't run back to Egypt. If you take 40 years to come back, so that you will have 40 more years to go back, you will have time to come back to senses and run back to the promised land. But when the Lord sent them to the promised land of Israel, people thought it's over. Everything is over. Because, my brethren, by nature we are all selfish. Every one of us, my life, my family, we are selfish. So when the Jews entered the second generation of Israel, when they entered the promised land, for them it was the dream come true. Everything is there. There is going to be one king after another. They do not have that burden for generations after generations, but rather they only thought about themselves today and tomorrow. In that selfishness, they forgot God. They forsook the fear of God. And the Lord looked deep inside. He could not see the promised land. He could see a land of desolation. Wherever the Spirit of God is not pleased, it is nothing but Sodom and Gomorrah, no matter wherever you stand. It could be even the temple of Jerusalem. The Lord says that is nothing but brick if I am not there. If the soul of your body left your body, you are nothing but a dead meat. I cannot go and tell, do you know how good this person was? I'm going to keep him in the freezer. You won't say such things. When the soul left the body, it's nothing but bones and meat. The person is not there. The spirit is not in there. It's the same for the land. Wherever God stands, even if it is Sodom and Gomorrah, if God stands there, it becomes Jerusalem. Even if it is Egypt, if God tells, I'm going to be here, that is Jerusalem. The name of the person, the name of the land is given based on what the Lord is doing, where the Lord stands. Genesis chapter 50, Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 50. Verse 22. In the series of garment, we covered the death of Moses, death of Aaron. Now, last Sunday, we also touched upon the death of Josiah. King Josiah, the very last good king, the Lord took him. Now, Jeremiah, standing as a man alone. There was no one good around him. The Lord needs to raise some support. He sent some. A good scribe he sent. But yet, he had no good king to do what Prophet Nathan could do, to do what Prophet Isaiah could do. Because Prophet Isaiah had Hezekiah. Uzziah died, the Lord sent Hezekiah. But for Jeremiah, the good king, the last good king was taken. That is King Josiah. Because Josiah disguised himself and he got himself killed. That is not wisdom. But Jesus disguised himself and got himself slaughtered. True wisdom. Can you say it is not wisdom? Then none of us will be here. He is the true wisdom. He disguised himself by keeping silence wherever he could. Because of his silence, they could accuse him with blasphemy. But he never lied. The truth has never lied. Amen? It was people who spread gossips and rumors. So now, Jesus was killed. Josiah was killed. Moses and Aaron were not killed. They died. Now, let's look at what happened to Joseph. We are focusing on death. One death after another. Because Jesus said, proclaim my death. He did not say, proclaim a resurrection. He knows that we are very good in celebrating good things. The Lord knows very well, people would always celebrate great things, miracles. But people would not celebrate chastisement. People would not celebrate correction. Because that is not good for our pride. The Lord says, proclaim my death so that you remember why I died for you. He did not say, proclaim my mighty miracles. He did not say, proclaim my resurrection. He clearly said, proclaim my death until I come. So what we should do? We should go and tell people, Jesus died for your sins. That is what Peter said. Apostle Peter said, you killed your Prince of Life. He died for you. He did not say, do you remember the Red Sea division? It was mighty, right? All the enemies of Pharaoh, poor guys, they were killed by our God. That is boasting. The whole world can do boasting freely. That doesn't need wisdom. But boasting in the sufferings, boasting in correction, that is nothing but submission. Submission is boasting in His glory. Lord, I humbly receive it, Lord, because you don't punish anyone. You take the cane of your word, the plumb line, you only touch your children because you are righteous. For that reason, Lord, I'm so happy. I'm a child. My father chastens me. But Israel, they did not feel that. They became backsliding heifer. How come you can touch me? Do you know our kingdom? Do you know the gates in our kingdom? Nobody has invaded our gates, you know. When the Lord says, oh, is it? Then He let them fall like an egg. And all the defense of their shell broken into pieces. Now Joseph, my dear brethren, was he living in the promised land? Or has he ever seen the promised land? Where he lived, where he died. Chapter 50, verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt. Amen. If you look at the way the Lord teases, mocks us, Genesis ends by saying, Joseph dwelt in Egypt. Oh, Joseph, that's a good area. It's a very good place. Exodus chapter 1 says that people were suffering captivity in Egypt. Joseph dwelt happily in Egypt, but the people were suffering in captivity in Egypt. Both the places are Egypt. How come the land did not change, but people changed? Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. He was celebrating his life with his grandchildren. Three generations. The man who was thrown in the pit. The man who was left to die. The man who was thrown into the prison of men. And the Lord exalted him that he would see three generations of grandchildren. He would have the best climax of any brother of Joseph had. He had a fairy tale ending. The rest 11, they had a miserable life after. So Joseph, he lived 110, had seen three generations, all good. He did not suffer in wilderness. He had a suffering, his own suffering of prison, captivity, beaten, thrown to die. But the Lord made sure his ending glorified his name. But what is important is, verse 24, that Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. What a beautiful, pleasant way to start the conversation. Hello, my brothers, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So Joseph tells the brethren, do not be complacent in the place where you are placed. This is just for a time of preparation. Be prepared, you will be thrown out. You have to move forward, you can't sleep. You cannot be complacent with what was given, but rather you should have the desire to seek what the Lord will give tomorrow. So Joseph tells, he could see the 11 brothers are going to sleep, are going to backslide, are going to be full of complacency and slothfulness. So he tells them, be prepared for the promised land because our journey is not over. I am stopping my train here. Another train will come with a different train master. You board the train and continue the journey. And Joseph tells the brethren, the Lord will bring you out of the land. And verse 25, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Why? I showed the Jewish prison. Nobody carries the bone. The body is left behind in the prison of the tomb. The great stone covers the prison. Joseph tells them, carry my bones. Don't forget me. I am not originally from Egypt. This is not my land. But I am here for a purpose as a stranger. Like Moses was a stranger in Egypt. The Lord took him to the wilderness. Joseph was a stranger in Egypt. And he died because the Lord wanted him to preserve his people. And Joseph says, carry my bones. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. He was put in a coffin in Egypt. Not a Jewish tomb in Jerusalem, because there was no Jerusalem at that time. He was like a king in Egypt who was not from Egypt. He also married a woman who is also not from the family of Jacob. He married a woman from what was given to him in the land of Egypt. Jesus Christ, when he told Apostle Paul, why are you persecuting my church? Little that Apostle Paul knew, the Lord called him for Gentiles because he was a Jew. But when the Lord revealed the purpose to him, I called you as an apostle for the Gentiles, Apostle Paul became an outcast. He was hated by his very own brethren because it was out of the book. Always people go back to the black and white paper to see if it is, following the formula. But God cannot be contained in formula. So God called Apostle Paul to bring the Gentiles to his house. If Gentiles are the bride to Jesus Christ, who is celebrated in Jewish culture, but we are not the Jews, then what happened to Joseph and the woman he married in Egypt? Then what Joseph represents? What the wife of Joseph represents? Now Joseph died, 110 years old. Bones has to be taken because he gave a request. This is the end of Genesis. Ending with bones. The moment you hear bones, you would remember book of Ezekiel. The Lord can raise people from the dry bones, the valley of dry bones. And not just that, even we had a sermon on the verse that Jeremiah spoke. The Lord's word in my heart It's like a fire shut up in my bones, not in my flesh. My flesh may decay. My flesh may be eaten by the dust, you know, or the things of the world. But the bone would stand as a testimony throughout time. Thousands of years, bone will not decay. It's there. And Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord is like a fire in my bones. Shut up. I don't know when it will come out. So now the bones of Joseph must be carried. Joseph don't know who is going to carry. Exodus 13. Exodus 13. Verse 19. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. Let me read from verse 17 so that you remember the context. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So the shepherd knows the lamb will always run when it sees a wolf. The lamb do not believe the shepherd will save me. The shepherd staff will correct me, will defend me. The lamb do not have the faith. The lamb sees the wolf, runs away from the shepherd. So the shepherd decided the growth of my sheep is not to the level that I am expecting. Takes time. Why? Calvary was not done yet. The power of Holy Ghost has not been given yet. Because Jesus said very clearly, you will not have the power until I die. He died, he gave us the power. That is nothing but the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of the power of resurrection. So God looks at the people of Israel, they will run for shelter. They are very, very fearful. They were always scared. And now God wanted to take a wrong route, which is the perfect, beautiful, good route. That is not near, but long-suffering. So same happens to us when we are sick, when we are frustrated, when we have problems in our life. God looks at you. If He gives you immediate solution, you will run back to your worldly life. So He delays. So that He teach you patience. He teach you long-suffering. And He also tests you whether you love Him or you love His gift. So now, this is how wilderness began. But look at the next two verses. What comes immediately after this? Verse 18. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. So, these prisoners from one prison, they are released into a big vast wilderness. And verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. If it is so insignificant, the very last verse of the book of Genesis, the very first thing that you talk about Moses after they entered the wilderness, it says Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Now you ask yourself, why God put Moses in Egypt? In a similar way of Joseph. Moses was very similar to Joseph. He was raised as a royal child, but he was not Egyptian. But he was raised as an Egyptian. And he was next to Pharaoh and his son. He was like a prince of Egypt, but he was not the prince of Egypt. Joseph was like a king, but he was not the king of Egypt. But Joseph had a good Pharaoh. Moses had a bad Pharaoh. When I say bad Pharaoh, he was not loving Moses for who he is. When Moses revealed his love for his brethren, Moses was hated. So he ran for his life. Moses was also a fearful man. He was scared all the time. He ran for his life. But God revealed him, you are not a sheep, not just a sheep, but you are also the lion, because I'm a lion of Judah. So the courage that we should have is always upon the Lord. And the meekness and the sacrificial love that we should have also should be upon the Lord. He is a lamb, He is a lion. The Lord chooses which side that we should reflect. Depends on where His name is glorified. Amen. So now, Moses took the bones out of Egypt because Joseph's bones should not be left behind in Egypt. Because Joseph requested personally. And they took the journey from Sukkoth and they encamped in Etam in the edge of the wilderness. So, after this, verse 21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them the light, to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from the before the people. What Joseph said when he died, surely the Lord will visit you. Not to destroy you, but to guide you. And Joseph prophesied, and that prophecy was fulfilled because God was always with them. Even today, He is always with us. It is us who turn our face away from Him. And we complain, God, you have hidden your face from me. So the bones of Joseph is taken. Good. The journey has begun. But what happened when the journey has ended? Joshua 24. Moses started. Joshua finished it. Joshua 24. Verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. How old was Joseph? 110. Joshua 110. Verse 30. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance. So he had his own inheritance. In Timnath Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim. Who is Ephraim? Son of Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh, children of Joseph. Joshua died 110 years old. He received his inheritance in a Mount of Ephraim, which is also representing the name of Ephraim, the land of Ephraim, son of Joseph. On the north side of the hill of Gash. Verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Israel served the Lord all the days of Moses, all the days of Aaron. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And people of God, in the time of Jehoiada, they served the Lord all the days of Jehoiada. When Jehoiada died, the very same king whom he protected, King Joash, he rebelled against the son of Jehoiada, and he killed the son of Jehoiada. Do you remember any pattern? Father dies, son was killed. The landlord of the vineyard leaves for a vacation, and the son was killed by the servants. God gave his only son, and because he loved the people, and the people killed him. So now, Joshua died. All his life, the Lord told Joshua, no man can stand against thee. I am with thee, be of good courage, and I will never leave thee, I will not forsake thee. People of Israel, they serve the Lord throughout the days of Joshua. Why? God told Joshua, I am with thee. So now, it is good. Joshua died, Moses died, Aaron died, Josiah died, Joseph died. We always study about death of people because that is where the true understanding always is buried. Now look at the next verse. It says, all the days of elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. The Lord allowed his brethren to overlive him, so that the inheritance is passed to one generation after another generation, like a running the relay game. A group of runners run the first relay and pass the baton to second group, because they must keep it. No passing should be passed on. Verse 32, out of nowhere, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried there in Shechem, is in a parcel ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. What is this? What kind of arrangement it is? Who will write a will like this? He died in Genesis chapter 50. After that, almost 430 to 480 years of captivity, because Moses was born, but God told Moses, I will wait for 80 years. I want you to be old. 18 years, people continued to suffer in the captivity, and Moses was growing like a boy, enjoying his show in Egypt. Then the Lord threw him in wilderness, in the desert of Midian, married a woman, and got to know his father-in-law. And then the Lord sent him after he became a father himself. Gershon was born, Moses was sent. So the Lord called Moses after he gave birth to a child, and the wife also circumcised the son because to protect the life of her loved one. And God sent Aaron, and we know the beautiful friendship of these two brothers. It was required that the two cherubims who cover the ark, the Lord needs two vessels to agree as one. So now, this death of Joseph from Genesis until now, what we are reading now, is more than close to 500 years, correct? Imagine, 40 years of wilderness, keep it there, close to 430 to 480 years of captivity, Egypt, add it together, already close to 500. Then after that, Joshua, after he crossed the promised land, he lived to make sure everything is set in order, then he died. Amen? It is easily more than 500 years plus. So the bones of Joseph was there for them to bury that bone in the place of Shechem after all these years. Genesis ends by the bones of Joseph. Joshua ends also by the bones of Joseph. Correct? Next, it became an inheritance of the children of Joseph, the land where his bone was buried. Verse 33, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. As if, hey, why this guy is escaping? Everybody should die. Correct? It should be a very good negative climax so that nobody has any hope to continue further. Eleazar died. Joshua died. Moses died. Aaron died. Miriam died. Whoever you think that they can lead you to the next generation, the Lord says, surprise, I am who I am. He makes sure no name shall boast the glory of the only name, the holy name. Not because he wants to keep all the glory himself, but because he knows people cannot handle his glory. They will be destroyed. He just protects them. He preserved them. He took Moses. My brethren, if Moses crossed the promised land, you would see Moses as the most worshipped idol in the life of humanity. Even now, people say, Moses told this, Moses told this. That too, the Lord buried him that no man can find him. The Lord knows the heart of people, and the Lord knows how to put an end to the journey of his servant. And that end will be the best that can happen to anyone. A divine completion for a divine beginning. Because there is no end to us. He is the beginning and the end. Which means, he is the beginning of the end. He is the end of the beginning. The Alpha and the Omega. It's just in the endless circle. Nobody can understand where it began. He would say, it began when it ended. Oh, where it ended. Oh, it ended where it began. Then we would be confused. So now, Joshua died, Joseph died, the bones are buried in Shechem. Let's go to the first image of the wilderness. The army, this supreme leader has formed, Moses, and with his brother Aaron. So today, I have added the numbers, the size of the camp, so that we understand if there is anything for us to learn, why the Lord counted them. If David counts, it's a mistake. If God counts, it's good. This is so partial, right? I don't get it. If Moses do, it's good. If David does, it's an abomination. This is where the Lord tells us, do not copy what I did. It is me who did. Just wait for me to tell you what you should do. Because God's mercy is new, amen, which means his works are new. So at the center, there are Levites, Aaron, Moses are here. Because Levites, they are at the center. King Josiah says, Levites taught Israel. Amen? The teaching starts from the Levites. Because they are consecrated, sanctified, chosen by God, clothed by God, anointed by God, so that they can offer sacrifices. Which means the Lord says, the one who offers sacrifice is the one to teach. Israel was taught by Levites. Amen? So now, Judah, the number of people, the number chapter 2 record is 74,600. I'm not addressing all 12, but I can tell you in a very simple manner, this is the largest group among all. Judah, 74,600, even the size of the congregation, you could see the number of people. And the next was Dan, 62,700. And this is Ephraim, this is Manasseh, and this is Benjamin, sons of Joseph, who represent the side of west. So this is western, this is eastern. Do you get it? Eastern side of Israel have Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. Western side have Benjamin, Manasseh, Ephraim. So now, on these two sides, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon, Gad. And I showed you before, Reuben was cursed by Jacob, and Moses said, let Reuben live. He said, right? Because Jacob said, my son, my strength of my excellency, my firstborn, you shall not prosper. What a worst father for Reuben. Because Jacob cannot speak other than truth. Then Moses came and said, Reuben, live. It is okay not to prosper, but live. Just stay alive. So now, what happens to this tribe, Reuben, half a tribe of Manasseh and Gad? What happens to them? It's what we are going to focus today before we continue. Before Joshua died, he had faced his own problems. But there was no one to rebel against Joshua. Do you hear me? There was no one who can go and fight against Joshua because there was a shield of promise God had put upon him. No man shall stand against thee, not even your brethren. Not even the brothers of Joseph can stand against Joshua because God told Joshua, no man can stand against thee. Why? The Lord wanted Joshua to take the people to a very safe state. From there, he will take care of them. He can send Nebuchadnezzar. He can send Sennacherib. He will send surprise. He will send Hitler. He will send whomever he wants. But he makes sure that he built a camp. The foundation from where it all began. What we see here became a nation. Can you believe it? This became a nation, irrespective of God destroyed them in the wilderness. Only second generation survived, my brethren. This is what we see is before the Lord destroyed all. This is Numbers 2. Moses is there, Aaron is there, but they are not the same group who crossed the promised land. Because what we are studying here is Numbers 2, which means they have not yet crossed the river of Jordan. This camp was formed, then later God cleansed the camp. Then the second generation was circumcised by Joshua. They crossed the promised land. After they crossed, they formed the lands and divisions, right? So, please keep the maps of 12 tribes and the cities of Israel. The one I showed last Sunday. Just keep it there and you can stop sharing the screen now. So now let's remember this formation and let's go to Joshua chapter 22. We have to reflect why God sent Eremiahu. And we have to clearly understand why God sent Nebuchadnezzar. And why the Lord threw them out of Israel to Chaldeans, which is Babylon. Why? Was God his anger was instant, or was he observing throughout time and he did what he said before? Chapter 22, verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh is from western side. Reuben and Gad from the other side. They are from the same side. And he tells them, verse 2, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. So he talks about three obedience. God, words of the Lord through Moses, words of the Lord through Joshua. So Joshua says, I have seen obedience at all levels. Because there is only one Lord who is working in the midst of us. Verse 3, he says, ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day. My brethren. What is this verse? Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day. Which means Joshua says, in the wilderness, you had nowhere to escape. You stick together. When you cross the promised land, you have all the reason to run away. Because you have received the promise, right? You got what you wanted. And Joshua says, you showed me how steadfast you are. You stood together with your brethren. You never left them. You stayed with them. And I'm going to bless you. Reuben, Gadites, half a tribe of Manasseh. Jacob cursed Reuben. Moses said, let Reuben live. And Joshua says, I'm going to bless you now. And he says, verse 3, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God, and now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren. What rest? How they are going to get the rest if Israel is going to put into captivity? Very genuine question, right? And Joshua says, therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan. What? We lived all these years in the wilderness to cross the river of Jordan. And you're telling the three of us, which is two and a half, not even three. Reuben, Gadex as a tribe. Manasseh, half a tribe. Just 0.5. Moses says, your promised land is not here. It is on the other side of the river of Jordan. So go back. If you are the people, what would you say? You mean our forefathers were destroyed by God in the wilderness to hear this? To take us all the way across the promised land, escape from the Jericho, all these mighty grand walls of Jericho destruction, blah, blah, blah. And you're telling us go back to some other place outside, other side of river of Jordan? But they did not say that. They did not think like that. Because Joshua said, you obeyed already, you will also obey this, I know. And he tells them, go to the place where is your promised land. So now, where is the promised land for Reuben? Where is the promised land for Gadite? Where is the promised land for the half a tribe of Manasseh? Joshua tells them, go back. In the book of Jeremiah, God tells them, go to Chaldeans. And people say, no, never. Come and move us if you can. So he sent Nebuchadnezzar. Now what happens here is, there is a purpose, a divine purpose. He says, take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Number one, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments. That is exactly what King Solomon said. There is nothing you can do. Fear God, love him, keep his commandments. And to cleave unto him, cling unto the old rugged cross. That is where we miss. That is where we fail. We believe in all good things. We thank the Lord, we love him, we do everything. But clinging unto him, cleaving, which is like holding unto him, not letting him go, not taking the hands off. Like the lame who was healed, he held Peter and John like a child holding the parents. And he held them. He did not let them go. Those enemies surrounded Peter and John to kill them. They saw the testimonies, love for them. They were scared that he may set a bad example. Everybody will follow them. So the enemies could not persuade them because of the testimony of the lame. Now Joshua says, have the same testimony. Cling. That means hold, grip. Because the Lord can take sudden U-turn, my brethren. He will take a sudden U-turn. If you are careless, you may think the Lord will go in this direction. He will take a U-turn, you will fall off. Hold him. And he says, serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away. They went unto the tents. So these 2.5 tribes are sent back to other side of Jordan. Good. Well done. So the 12 is not complete anymore. 10.5 is there. Or 9.5 is there. 2.5 is actually out. Out of 12. Now you look at this verse, how this thing changed. What a trap Joshua placed for all the tribes. the rest of them. Verse 10. Chapter 22, verse 10. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see. They made sure that altar was great, which means mighty, that everyone will see. It will get the attention of the people, like a tower. You would not escape, you know, from looking at the tower, like an altar. Verse 11, the nature of us, the family of God. And the children of Israel heard, say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. What a worst, negative, evil gossip that starts spreading again in the camp. Chapter 22. The very own brethren built an altar at Jordan where the inheritance was given. And the rest of the tribe look at the altar, they misunderstand, presume, thinking that these two and a half are going to attack us or kill us. Then what kind of mentality these people were living in that time? It is the same mentality before Joseph died. Genesis 50. Genesis 50. Verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. So, they want to think on behalf of Joseph. They want to judge themselves on behalf of Joseph. They want to develop a story on behalf of Joseph. Thinking, presuming, as if they are the creators. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Because Joseph looked at the unfaithfulness, the fear of these people, as if they thought Joseph is like a god. What Joseph said, am I a god? Did he say that? He said exactly the same word, am I a god? Now come back to Joshua, chapter 22. So now, when the children of Israel, verse 12, 22 verse 12, look at the series of events. How the enemy devised divisions, misunderstandings, lack of understandings, confusions, gossip, rumor, just because of an altar erected. These two groups haven't talked yet, but the people prepared for war. Why? I have a land. I'm not in the wilderness anymore. Don't try to, you know, mess with me. I'm not no weak tribe of Israel running in the wilderness. I have a promised land, okay? I am a own territory. Joshua gave us a land. So we'll go and take our weapons. We'll build, we'll go with our princes. Whoever it is, we'll destroy. Your own brethren. You haven't even spoken. So what happens here is, this whole congregation of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Who? Reuben, Gad, half a tribe of Manasseh. Nothing happened. An altar was placed. That's all. They thought they are going to come against us. Now, where is Joshua? The name of Joshua is not mentioned yet. Next verse. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the half tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest. Remember the name? Anyone remember the name? Phinehas, the son of Eleazar. Eleazar, the son of Aaron. Phinehas, the one who threw the spear, and the Lord said, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts was upon Phinehas. Because of the zeal of Phinehas, today I have not consumed Israel. Amen? The very same Phinehas. Why? Hey, I threw spear in the past. Do not forget my heroic attitudes. So his history, of course, because he's the son of Eleazar. So people brought the priest. Of course, they need a priest to support him. But the thing is, Eleazar is still alive. Correct? Because he died in 24. The very last verse was, Eleazar the priest died, which means he's alive. Because he clearly says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes. Like 10 horns in the book of Revelation. Very similar numbers. 10. Like 10 commandments. Like 10 plagues. Like 10 virgins. Of each chief house. Why 10? Supposed to be 12. Two were removed. That is on the other side of Jordan. Reuben, Gadites. Half a tribe of Manasseh. They have one more prince to represent their half a tribe in the other side. So they use that prince to show we are 10. But they are not complete without the other half side of Manasseh. So now, these 10 are going together. Each one was a head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. So now, as I continue to read, you also remember the camp, the photo of the camp. The people, you know, in different size. But they are not the same people, what we are reading today. Because this is the second generation of those people. Amen? So now, until verse 14 now, let's read verse 15. They came unto the children of Reuben, unto the children of Gad, and unto the half a tribe of Manasseh. They teamed up as one enemy for them. And they came, spake unto them. Verse 16 is what something really shocking when I was reading this last night. Verse 16 says, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. What? You are not the Lord. What do you mean by thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord? As if you speak like the Lord. It is not thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. You are not whole without Reuben. You are not whole without Gad. You are not whole without the half a tribe of Manasseh. But they say thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. You are not whole. You are just 10, not 12. You are incomplete. Which means lack of understanding started dancing. What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? They say, we have come for what? Whoever you are, you can be my own brothers, sisters, I'll kill you to defend God. We are the mighty defenders of God Almighty, and God will be watching the movie. He'll be watching all this dramatic, sentimental, emotional, anger, wrath of men, so much flavor, so much drama, but no plain, no simplicity, no truth. And God is looking down. Just now, I gave you the promised land. You have started doing your own golden calf. Another golden calf in the name of rebellion and war. Not with enemies, but with their own brethren. Look at verse 21. So they are threatening them, warning them, because they are 10 against 2, right? They are outnumbered. Look at the response from these people. Verse 21. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh answered, said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, The Lord God of gods, he knoweth. They are repeating twice, which means they were frightened, shocked, overwhelmed, what's happening in front of them, that their own brethren came against them to kill them. And they said, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth. And Israel, he shall know. If it be in rebellion or if it in transgression against the Lord, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offering thereon, let the Lord himself require it. They are telling them, you have completely misunderstood why we built this altar. Because there was no communication. There was no communication. And nothing but a stone without speaking, which has no life, no eyes, no mouth, but nothing but a simple stone, a great stone, tricked the hearts of 10 tribes to kill their very own brethren on the other side who are 2.5. Nobody spoke. No adversary. A simple stone, which means the people were the adversary to themselves. There was no enemy from outside. There was no Babylon, no Assyria, no Syria, no great Alexander, no none. They were presuming, predicting, thinking, acting before. And they said, Reuben, and they said, if we really did that, let the Lord destroy us. Verse 22 is what they say. Go to 25, because can't read the full chapter. 25. For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. Ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but it may be a witness between us and you, not against us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and our sacrifices, our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. They were mindful of the new generations to come. They are acting before so that there is no misunderstanding in the future, so that the young generation would not misunderstand they are not part of the promised land. Because they are other side of Jordan, which is also part of the promised land, but at the tip, the edge. They were burdened. They felt they should do something as a reminder. They had no evil intents, my brethren. In the Old Testament, throughout the wilderness, have you ever seen a word devil, Satan? Why? You could see from the actions of people. The adversary was influencing them. Like what happened in the Garden of Eden. But that doesn't mean children of God can blame the adversary. No. When I am influenced by the adversary, remember this, you are the adversary. Correct? Because you have allowed the adversary to influence you. Solomon had adversaries, could not be killed. He searched them all his life. The Lord made sure to tell Solomon, you are the wisest king of the earth, but yet you are a fool to me. I challenge you, find your 2 adversaries, kill them. He searched them all his life. He died, he could not find them. Then the revolt of, Rehoboam, Jeroboam began after Solomon died. So, this, what happened between these 10 brethren who went against to kill the 2, very similar to the 2 witnesses, will also get killed by the very own brethren who are all God's creation. Very similar to Peter and John who were approached to be killed by the very same people they went to serve. And very same to all the children of God, all the servants of God who were persecuted by their very own people to whom the Lord showed his love and service. And finally, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when he was crucified on the cross, they looked at the cross, finally we removed him. He is silenced forever. Altar of sacrifice, crucified, we have overcome. Overcome who? Oh, this man who was trying to bid for the next election to become a political leader. They killed him without even speaking, listening, understanding who he is or why he came. Why? Presumptuous sin is the most dangerous of all, my precious dear brethren. Presumptuous means you tell God you are a judge, but just wait. Look at my presumption now. I will predict exactly how you are going to judge. Which means I can read God's mind. Oh, we can? Can we read God's mind? They put the people in the war that the mind of the Lord issued. The very first title of the Present Gate series. Which means the mind of God is sealed. We are not the creature. So these people went all the way, but where was Joshua? When golden calf was made, where was Moses? So now you continue with 29 until 29. Verse 29. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord, which is the children of the Lord, and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings or meat offerings or sacrifices. No, beside the altar of the Lord, our God, that is before his tabernacle. They want to have some sort of a consolation for them that we are part of them. We are always part of them. But the other 10, they did not see this way. Now, verse 30 says, and when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and the heads of the thousands of Israel were with him, they heard the words, what the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. Oh, misunderstanding. Good that you told us before he killed you. Okay, you just live, okay? Just live. Who are they to let them live? Fraction of moment, right? God can consume every one of them. So God is watching silently. Good. He is watching and studying and observing every single characteristics of every single tribe. And he's telling them, you are naked, you are backsliding, but they can't hear. Why? I have promised land. I will go and fight with my people. I'll go back to my shelter. Because I have a territory. Arrows, weapons, priests, every one of us, we have a city for Levites. How many cities? 48 cities. 12 tribes, 48 cities, approximately 4 each. Just dividing. Which means the Lord placed Levite cities in the midst of all the 12 tribes so that they have their own place of altar, sacrifice, own place of synagogue to be taught. Very similar to fivefold ministries today. Imagine the seventh church age is a land and the Lord placed fivefold ministries all across. But are they different? No. There is only one fivefold ministry. The hand of the Lord, Jesus Christ. One hand. But what if every hand says, maybe they are against us. Let's go against them. Then denominations are born. Then denominations see, oh, they are against us. Our patent is different from their patent. So we should change something in the faith. Oh, you have this faith? No, we are different than you. You like purple, I like green. I am different. So people want to have some differentiators so that they can keep the profit coming upon. You know, it's a business model. So they will keep on getting divided and divided and divided because they were always misunderstanding that the empty stone as a threat of enemies. But no one was an enemy. The greatest enemy that the man can ever face is God himself. Because God says, don't become my enemy. If the mind of the Lord is not shewed unto all of us, the Bible says we are all enemies to the mind of the Lord. Which means, no. Everything else, the Lord says, the captivity of your mind is a prisoner to your understanding. The Lord says, release him into me. Let me take care of him. Now you see what happens after this is so beautiful, verse 33. And a thing pleased the children of Israel. What the thing? What thing? You misunderstood them. The misunderstanding is clarified and this thing pleased them. They should repent. Why you are pleased? Oh, thank God the Lord did not let us kill my own brethren. You repent first. He that hateth his brother killed him in his heart. You already killed the 2.5 tribe before you even stepped into the battle. You killed them in your heart. The Lord says murderers. 10 tribes of murderers. But Joshua, where is Joshua? Verse 33 says, they were blessed and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad call the altar of Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. Very good, right? Happy ending. Chapter 23, verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, and Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. So, the time is there for the Lord to take Joshua. If the Lord takes Joshua, who is next? Judges, then kings. Correct? So before captivity, the leader of Israel must be taken. Only if Joshua is removed, that is the time of judges. Only if the time of judges come, that is the time of famine, no testimony. Only then Hannah will cry for the burden for a son who is nothing but a prophet Samuel. And only when prophet Samuel comes with such a burden, he can anoint David and Saul. Now, Joshua is going to die. Look at the words that this man of God uttered before he dies. Verse 2, Joshua called for all Israel and for the elders and for the heads and for the judges and for the officers. Judges. Do you see the word judges? Which is very not common in the previous chapters. So Joshua knows the next season. Judges and for the officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. This is still better than Joseph. Joseph said, I die. Just very straightforward, right? Joshua is at least a good man. He just starts slowly. No, I'm old, stricken in age, very similar to Moses, he said. Verse 3, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. So he reminds them, the Lord destroyed Pharaoh because of you. Correct? To protect you. You saw what the Lord did to Amalekites because of you, to protect you, to love you, to show that he is your father. He destroyed so many for you. Not just that, your forefathers were also destroyed by your father in heaven. He was destroying all in, all out, left and right for you. Joshua is reminding them because he was a man of the battle. Joshua was always in the war to give rest to the people. He was a soldier. He tells them all the scars that you have seen in the living people and those who died. He says, the Lord did for you. He reminds them. He says, the Lord, your God, is he hath fought for you, not me, not Moses, not anyone. God himself fought for you. Moses said, the Lord himself will cross the river of Jordan for you. And Joshua says, the Lord himself fought for you. Do you see the difference? One is crossing, another one is fighting. Moses had a journey of leading the people in the wilderness so that they will roam around for 40 years. Just time, grace. Joshua had the quick ministry to push them to the river of Jordan to go to the other side. Which is not delaying. Quickening, fast as he can. And he said the Lord fought. Jericho was destroyed because of you. He's reminding them. Then he tells them, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribe from Jordan, with all the nation that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Joshua is reminding them, the quest of promised land is not over. Verse 5 says, the Lord shall expel them before you and drive them from out of your sight. Ye shall possess their land. Now listen to me. If the Lord tells people of Israel in the wilderness, you will possess the promised land. Good. Now we have received it, right? And the Lord tells again, the enemies may come, you will drive them out and you shall possess their land. If I already have a promised land, why should I possess another land? I don't want to be greedy, Lord. We are content. No, we are lazy. We don't want to claim the souls for you, you see. We don't want to love the enemies for you, you see. We will be there, where we are planted. We will be safe and sound in the place where we are inside. We do not want to go outside. And Jesus said, bear my reproach outside the camp. The Lord wanted to test them by taking them out of that, you know, comfort zone. See what they will do if they go to Babylon. That's it. They showed who they are. And Joshua warned them, the promised land is not over until we all enter into his blessed rest, Jesus Christ. Joshua means Yehoshua. He is nothing but a type of Christ. He tells them, until you receive Christ, your journey is not over. He is the promised land. But people, no. We have 12 cities, 48 Levite cities. What else could be better than this? Correct? This is the starting phase of growing stiff, confident, lofty, until Yeremiah came and said, "Hello, God sent me to speak with you." And he became an enemy. Now, 23, he says all of this, verse 14. Please meditate all the chapters that I read. I can't read all the chapters, but I want you all to read all the chapters to understand the front and the back of the central essence. So that you remember how accurate the plans of God. 14 says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." So he's telling very politely, "I'm going to die. And ye know in all your hearts and all your soul that not one thing hath failed." Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. He was keep on telling you, you, you. The Lord destroyed enemies for you. The Lord never failed any promises to you. He was keep on telling them, you, you, you. And the people were maybe rejoicing. Of course, for us. We are children, right? We deserve it, man. We deserve all the inheritance. We deserve His protection. He created us. You tell Him to protect us. They were very happy because Joshua is speaking very positively. Then Joshua shows what a servant of God would do before he closes his eyes. Verse 15. "Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promise you." Yeah. Tell me. We are waiting eagerly to listen to you. And he says, "So shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things." Joshua, you drunken man. So far you're doing good. What happened to you, you old man? Because he's old, right? He's taken off age, you know. 110 years old. People would say, poor thing. Was serving God so well. Towards the climax, he lost his mindset. All of a sudden he said, "The Lord will bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land." What? From this good land, from this promised land that we are standing now, which the Lord your God had given you. Then Joshua says, why? Verse 16. Then he says, not if. That is where the word of God, it amazes us. He did not say if. If means you may do it or you may not do it. Joshua says then, which means you will do it. It's like the tree is growing. I could see the mango. And I'm telling, after a few months, it will ripe, it will fall. Because the tree cannot hold the heaviness of the fruit. The branch will break, ripened fruit will fall. And I'm saying, I'm the gardener. When the fruit falls, I will take and eat it. For example, which means I know it will fall. Joshua says, when ye have transgressed over the covenant of the Lord your God. So Joshua comes to the covenant. Abraham is the one who received the covenant. And Joshua tells, my great, 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 great grandfather, don't worry. I will show them the plumb line before I go home. He reminds them of the covenant. He says, people, you remembered Egypt. You remembered 10 plagues. You remember wilderness. You forgot the covenant. Promise on Isaac. Every time the Bible talks about covenant, you should think about nothing but Jesus Christ. The new covenant. The only covenant. Everything else was a pointer to Him. Was a type and shadow to Him. Now He says, which He commanded you and have gone and served other gods. Exodus, we read last Sunday, chapter 20, the 10 commandments. The very first commandment, Moses said, you will serve other gods. And those gods can be from different religion or the very same ones who would see you in the mirror. You yourself. I am my own God. I can do whatever I want. I am not answerable to anyone. I am my own God. The Lord says, good, you can do it. I'm not disturbing you. Because why? The free will is so powerful. And Joshua says, and bowed yourself to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. Ye shall perish quickly. Wilderness is long, but perishing quickly. He says, from of the good land which he had given to you. So Joshua says, I am the one who brought you to the promised land. I have a good news to share with all of you. The Lord will throw you out of this good land. then you will do what you're going to do. Because he saw what they did to their very own brethren. When Moses came from the mountain, golden calf, drama was going. Who was a spy to Moses? Joshua. Moses did not meet Aaron. He met Joshua. Joshua was a spy. He said, Moses, my Lord, this is what they are doing. Then Moses met Aaron. Joshua was in between. He departed not the tabernacle of the Lord. So, this man was the one the Lord divided the lands, and he is the one who gave the final warning, you will be removed from the good land. If people hearing this, they would be reminded of a similar incident when Moses died, because this is not new. Deuteronomy, before Moses died, he gave a message to them. 31. Exodus chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. So far it is good, right? Because God tells the people, do not worry, we are going to get this done. I'm just changing the car tire. Now this tire is worn out. Now I'll put on a new tire. As long as the journey of the people is moving, God is the one who's doing all the work. Fitting, replacing, renewing, restoring, washing. He is the one who is a builder and the maker and the gardener for all of us. Amen. The Lord is telling, and verse 15 says, and the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. Stood over the door of the tabernacle. What was inside the tabernacle? So the glory of the Lord appears in the pillar of cloud. And verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses. Now imagine all the people are listening. This is Deuteronomy 32, 31. Moses dies after this. And all the people are listening. The mighty divine promise of God. Because God is going to speak. Verse 16. Moses is listening to God. And the Lord is speaking to Moses. He says, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. You are not dying. Because there is no death. You will sleep with the fathers. I will raise you. And this people will rise up. This is not the rising that I'm talking about. They should be dead to their old man, but these people will rise up. The old man of everyone will come to resurrection by their very own gods. Hey, I'll be the angriest man that I was 20 years ago. I'm going to call him back. Come back to me again. I want to be angry. These people will rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. Now you see, Jeremiah said, they committed harlotry. Who? The land of Jerusalem, the land of Judah, the land of Israel. Because these were compared as sisters. These are compared as sisters. Treacherous Judah, backsliding Israel. But both of them were compared as spiritual harlotry because they chose to serve other gods. Solomon was not born yet. Solomon did not know, I'm the wise king, but I'm also the one who is going to bring thousands of women from other cultures, and I'm also the one going to worship Ashtaroth. The same king who received the wisdom from God. That is a sample of it, talking about worshipping other gods. But the most painful, dangerous one is what book of Jeremiah said, chapter 1, people worship the work of their own hands, which means people worship themselves. I'm a good person, okay? Last week, you didn't tell me I'm a good person. What happened to you? I'm a very spiritual person. You don't believe me? I will behave spiritually. People worship the work of their own hands. Book of Isaiah, chapter 53. He has no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus had no beauty of flesh that flesh may desire him. He had the beauty of spirit. Only the spirit will desire him. So what we desire? Jeremiah came because people misplaced their desire. So now, they were looking for a mighty king. The king came, but came in a disguised fashion. No beauty, no sword, no people behind him, no one to worship him. They spat on him. They thought, how come this man can be a king? What a joke, right? They thought they were despising him. There was no beauty in him to desire. It all began from here. The generation of Israel, they did not change overnight. It was a process of changing. So now, it's also warning to seven church. We are also in the process. Moses is listening and the Lord says, whither they go to be among them or will forsake me, whatever you do it, I don't care. He says, and break my covenant. Now God himself speaks about covenant. What Joshua said, he reminded them about the covenant. What the Lord speaks to Moses, to all of them, covenant. Because God is very particular about his friend Abraham. They are good friends, you know. They are very good friends. He said, Abraham, are you angry with me? Is there anything that I'll hide from thee? Ask if they go for a tea to make, you know, to make compromise. You're speaking to him like a friend. The father of all nations who was willing to kill his very own son just because God asked him, he stretched his hand with a knife and the Lord said, stop it. I know that you have already killed him in your heart for me. But he loved and killed him, not hated and killed him. And the Lord says, no, I'm glad that I am your creator. You are my creation. I can see you. I can see me in you. That friend Abraham, he made the covenant. Amen? He also made the covenant with Noah. The Lord who never forgets the covenant throughout time. He tells to them through Moses, that covenant you will break. Verse 17, then my anger shall be kindled. What Joshua said, when you will transgress. What the Lord says, then my anger. So Moses' time, then. Joshua's time, when. So Joshua says, the time is very close. And Moses says, then. The time will come. When you cross the promised land, you will change. So now, he says, I will forsake them, I will hide my face from them, then they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? Exactly, they said that. But imagine people of Israel listening to this from the camp. What's happening? We are very close to promised land. Why is this old man speaking nonsense? Correct? He should simply hand over the baton to Joshua and have a merry feast. No, make some good meal and celebrate for dance and merry and tell Moses goodbye. We had a good time with you. Now we got what we wanted. We'll go to the promised land. The Lord spoke very few verses, but none of them are sweet. Because he had time and used the time to give the medicine. And he says, and I will surely hide my face in that day. Joseph, you are a liar. Correct? Joseph said, the Lord surely visit you. And verse 18 says, I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that day, they are turned unto other gods. Which means the Lord says, I did not hide my face. He says very clearly, they are turned unto other gods. My face is here. They went back, no, they went behind me. And they worship other gods. So, for them, I hide my face. But to me, they turned away from me. Imagine the earth says, I don't like the sun. Gives me 8 hours of night during the night. But you are rotating. The sun is there wherever it is, correct? God is there without moving, unwavering. But we rotate. When you want a day, we get the day. When you go night, we complain. So the Lord says, I did not hide my face. The earth rotated. People turned. So my face was hidden. I did not harden the heart of Pharaoh. I'm a flame. This man of paper came near to me, was burnt. I didn't do anything. Not my mistake. But the Bible says the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. By what? By being the righteous God who he is. All the unrighteousness will be hardened. All the wickedness will be provoked. God do not destroy any man. This is the answer. The Lord did not cause evil upon Saul. He just take his hands off. Correct? The Lord do not have to send evil to kill you. We are already dead. If we take his hands off, we are nothing but the host of something else. If you put his hands on, we are guided by the Lord of hosts. He hosts us. The tabernacle is hosted by the Shekinah glory of God. Amen. If the glory leaves the tabernacle, that tabernacle is a tomb. Mary was searching for Jesus in the tomb, but Jesus resurrected. He was not there. She should search him in her, who can sit in the heart of her throne. So now, this is the evil words that the Lord spoke with a good intent to the people. Tell them, I am going to send Jeremiah later. It just, they don't know the name yet. This, what was spoken here, is what we see, captivity, Holocaust, and the war, restless war today. Even until today, my brethren, they are still doing presumptuous acts. It is the truth, is bitter, but the Lord is with them. But yet, mistake is a mistake. The Lord will inquire. Imagine, I'm a son. I make 1,000 mistakes. My father is good. I cannot hide behind his goodness. My mistake is my mistake. My father chastened me in his righteousness. I obey, I take to be a better person. If those who are the friends of the son thinking that, hey, he is a son of the good father, whatever he do may be correct. That is idol worship. Anyone can make mistake. David made mistake. Apostle Peter made mistake. John the Baptist made mistake. Solomon made mistake. Everyone made mistake. If Adam did not make a mistake, God cannot throw him out of Garden of Eden. Everyone had to be deserving of God's judgment, which means all have sinned, fell short of the glory of the Lord. Until the glory comes in, I'm a tomb. If the glory comes in, I'm a tabernacle. So now, we have covered the death of Joshua, what happens to people, why Reuben and Levi jumped over the man Shechem to kill him because of the rape of Dinah, and why the 10 brothers, 10 tribes went to kill Reuben and Gad because they made an altar, and why the 11 brethren of Joseph wanted to kill him because Joseph had a dream. Jealousy, comparison, presumption, defending our very own self. So last Sunday, I mentioned about three words. Strong city, defense city, lofty city. Right? And we focused on, the Lord says, I will heal your backsliding. That was the focus of last Sunday. And we saw some glimpse of the tombs and the camp. Now today we have seen what happened to the camp, what happened to Joshua, what happened to the bones of Joseph. Now let's go to the gospel. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Brother Clement, read this for us. From verse 38 to 42.
After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who is at first, came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with the spices, as the customs of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one has yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus. Because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby.
Please continue the next chapter.
Chapter 20.
Yes.
John chapter 20.
Verse 1 to 10.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone was been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that has been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes.
They went away again to their own homes. Now, body of Jesus, body of Moses, body of Joseph, body of Joshua, body of Josiah. So there are a lot of death and burial that we have seen, different types, different reasons. And the book of John presents this perspective of what happened after crucifixion. And when this body of Christ, physically, not spiritually, put into a physical tomb, there is a verse in chapter 19, it says, a great stone was rolled to close it. Chapter 19, verse 40. Yes, verse 40. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. Which is a type of why Mary was a virgin. She never gave birth to a child. It was a simpler tabernacle for the body of the child to be stored, so that the world would not be surprised that he came from a cloud, but rather he disguised himself as a man, son of man. He must claim the promise of son of man, because Mary and Joseph are from the family of David and Solomon, lion of Judah. So now Jesus Christ, he has reached the state of his final atonement. Now Joseph and Nicodemus, they cover him with the clothing. Verse 1 of the chapter says, Mary, she went, it was dark, and see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So that stone, sepulchre. So now I'm going to look at this incident from different perspective, from gospel. Matthew chapter 27, 57 to 56. Matthew chapter 27. Here it says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. So he asked for the body of Jesus. It was not given to him. Am I correct? The lame who was seated outside the beautiful gate of Jerusalem, the Solomon gate, he was asking for alms. Was it given to him by directly? No, he was asking for alms. Correct? He was asking for something. But Peter and John saw, and they know that he do not need arms, but he needs legs. So they told him, stand up. Silver and gold I have none, but by the power of the name of Jesus Christ Nazareth, I am telling you, no, you are healed. Just stand up. The lame stood up. So now, here, Jesus Christ was buried and Joseph asked for the body of Christ. It was given to him. So in the communion, when we come, nobody is coming to force you to eat the bread. You must eat. You are from our church. You must eat. No. If you think you love the Lord, if you believe, you truly understand what he did for you in Calvary, if you understand the unity of brethren, the love of Christ that is in the God's family, the preeminence of perfect will of God over your free will. If you do so, come and take the food. So we come and ask the body of Christ. It is given, we eat. Amen. Ask and it shall be given to thee. Not by force, not by inheritance. Ask. Now, when this was given to him, what he did, he covered by what? Linen clothing. Amen. Book of Revelation says, the only way bride will escape from all of this is by the righteous deeds of saints. So she decked herself by the work of the word, which is the linen clothing. which also represents the body of Christ, physical body of Christ, is nothing but a type of spiritual body of Christ, us, who must be covered by linen clothing. So far it is good. So far it is good. But now look at this. And laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. So it was actually made, you know, carved out of a rock, made, you know, through a rock, to represent the rock of refuge. And he rolled a great stone, not any stone. What is this great stone? Great stone. To the door of the sepulchre and departed. He finished his job, he left. But the name Nicodemus was not mentioned here, correct? It is mentioned in Book of John. That is why Gospel is north, east, west, south side of looking at the tabernacle, which is the center. We must look at the Word of God from all sides to get the full picture of what was the Lord is telling, so that he makes us to go and search. Or else it could be a single piece of Gospel. Four Gospels, so that the Lord recorded everything through four different men who have four different skill sets. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Though they were waiting, desperate to do something, you know. They were showing their emotional love. So, let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And we all know the stone cannot be moved from inside. It has to be moved from outside. Correct? And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. So this prisoner escaped. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why seek ye the living, not a living, the one true living God Almighty, the one true living Lord Jesus Christ, why you are seeking him among the dead? Why you are seeking him somewhere else? Did you forget who he is? Did you totally forget what he promised you? So in the moment of sadness, moment of, you know, mourning, they completely forgot why he died, or what will happen to him. He clearly said, I will destroy the temple and I will raise it on the third day. Amen? So now, what is this temple? What is this tabernacle? We are going to look at the Lord's work. So, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember, they are telling them, you forgot. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, and be crucified, and the third day he rise again. So, there is a reminder given by these two. Now let's go back to John 20. Verse 11 to 15, brother. John 20, verse 11 to 15.
But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.
She thought he was a gardener. Actually, she was right. In her mistake, she was still right. But she did not know who he was. There was no beauty in him that we could desire him. That was the state of the Lord's crucifixion. When he came in such a beautiful, glorious appearance of resurrection, he came in that lack of understanding. The very own disciple who loved Jesus could not understand who is standing behind him. So my brethren, people of God could not understand the work of God when they step away from the will of God, people who were to be saved, they could not even recognize their Savior when he was standing next to them, washing their feet, getting beaten for them, but actually they want him to come and beat others. That is the violent nature of Cain's serpentine attitude. They want to see their God as all-powerful, almighty, that nobody can stand against anyone, and they wanted to take his side. We belong to him, gangsters. They want to touch us. Hey, God, destroy them. Angel of the Lord came and smote all the enemies. Sennacherib army was destroyed. Hezekiah was untouched. Oh, that God. Then they killed Jesus. So, the Eremiahu, the time that he entered, the lack of understanding was at peak. That people worship the promised land more than the one who is the promised son. In that blindness, Jesus stepped in. That is why Jeremiah was crying. Do you think that he is a weak prophet? All the servants of God, they are strong in spirit, but yet they are tender in spirit because the burden is quite heavy. He saw what's going to happen to them. He saw everything what's going to happen to the people of Israel. The Lord showed them, but they were only allowed to say some, not everything. In the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus tells the three, don't tell what you see here to anyone until the time comes. So the Lord says, I will tell you so many things, but keep quiet. That is between you and me. We are friends. But not everything was shared. Why? The Lord knows what people know, what people should not know. But the people thought they know better. And that is where God sent Jeremiah. He knows they are going to crucify their Prince of Peace. He knows they are going to fall into captivity, look desperately for a king of Jews, come and take revenge against all the five kingdoms, and he will come and be killed like them. They did not see this coming. Do you understand? After this captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, one kingdom after another came and devoured the people of Israel. And Jesus came, they were looking for Messiah. They were looking for King of the Jews who will come and establish his judgment. He will come and deliver us, save us. He came, saved, ruled in love, saved by death. But they were looking for rule by iron hand, saved by, his mighty hand. But he came as a lamb. They were looking for a lion. So now, here, we want to go to this great stone and we are going to transition to great city. Let's go to Book of Revelation, chapter. We will read a series of verses so that I want all of us to remember this name, great. Not any city, great city. But the Lord used it to address different perspective. Chapter 11, verse 3. I'm going to show you the transition of this word great city throughout the book of Revelation with some selective verses. Amen. Chapter 11, verse 3, book of Revelation. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. I was expecting some shining garments like those two who are waiting outside the sepulchre, but they came in sackcloth, which means they came with burden. Sackcloth represents burden. Put on sackcloth for a prayer request. The Lord put a burden. Until the burden is removed, the sackcloth will be there. So they came in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If you deeply meditate the pattern of God, under the mighty oak tree, the terebinth tree, the Lord met Abraham. Two angels were next to him. So total how much? Four. Two angels, the Lord and Abraham. Amen? In the Mount of Transfiguration, how much? How many? Jesus transfigured. And there are three witnesses, three disciples, and Moses and Elias. Okay, good. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, three witnesses, Peter, James, John. If you look at the way the Lord used these witnesses in his work, He was crucified. There were two thieves, right and left. But they are not just witnesses. That is a type of judgment, life and death. The witnesses were the ones who were living, looking above. So now, those two witnesses were also there when he resurrected. When Mary Magdalene came, they were all sitting. Because they witnessed the resurrection, they passed the message to the people. Amen? So now, here another representation of other two witnesses. They will all come in the spirit of God, spirit of message, spirit of deliverance, spirit of prophecy. The Lord sends his anointed people. It says, well, verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. That is Joel chapter 2. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven. What? They have power to shut heaven, as if heaven is a door, as if heaven is a gate. They have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. How the book of Jeremiah started. The Lord withheld the blessings, there was no later rain. Amen? Book of Jeremiah. He says, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So good. Talking about the greatness of God's work through them. Good. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished that testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit. So there is another prisoner getting released to come and take over them. Make war against them, shall overcome them and kill them. So the testimony is completed, which means they have finished their job. After that, the Lord let them go. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. What is this great city? What is the street of the great city? When Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, the two angels were sent. They told Lot, we were told to abide in the streets, not in the house. And Lot said, I insist, come to my house. But they said very clearly, we came to abide in the street, not in the house. Street. So now, great city is mentioned here, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God. Egyptians were destroyed by God. Egypt was labeled as a place where people were kept as captives. The Bible says spiritually that great city is Sodom and Egypt. But what exactly God is pointing? Where also our Lord was crucified. Lord was not crucified in Sodom. Lord was not crucified in Egypt. Where the Lord was crucified? Outside Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? Promised land. Jesus was crucified where? Egypt? No. Sodom and Gomorrah? No. Sodom and Gomorrah is there. Outside Jericho side. Where also our Lord was crucified? But then why Sodom and Egypt is mentioned? Let's continue. 14. Chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel. Book of Revelation. All the verses, book of Revelation. Chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. So far good. Verse 8, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fornication, book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, talks about spiritual harlotry of Jerusalem, Israel, and Judah. Two sisters, treacherous, backsliding. And now we are in book of Revelation, Babylon is mentioned as great city. Is Babylon a great city? The Lord told people of Israel, go to Babylon, I will save you. Did he say that? Book of Jeremiah says, the Lord spoke through prophet, if you obey me, go to Chaldeans and be a captive in Babylon, I will save you. If you disobey me, stay in the promised land Canaan, I will destroy you. Amen? He said that. That is why Jeremiah was always on the hunt list to be killed. He had a, some what do you call the some? If you kill him, you will get some, like how Judas got 30 pirasula, right? Some token of appreciation. Yeah, bounty. Yes, bounty hunters. So they were on. People were actually waiting for how to kill Jesus, how to kill Jeremiah. There was a bounty on their head. A price was labeled. They were all sold for a limited money. So now, it says that this Babylon, verse 8 says, all the nations drink of the wine. When you say all the nations, there is only one who has the name of father of all the nations. What's name it is? Abraham. Amen? So now this Babylon is mentioned. Now go to verse chapter 17, same chapter 16, verse 19. Chapter 16, verse 19. The great city was divided into three parts. Which great city? And the cities of the nations fell. The great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of the wrath. The word great city is addressed in the book of Revelation from different perspectives, representing different cities which will come. Chapter 16 talks about this division. Chapter 17, verse 17. Chapter 17, verse 17. Just look at the word great city. We will go deeper next Sunday. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast. What? God put the heart to fulfill his will, to agree under kingdom unto the beast. Why God needs to fulfill the will of him by giving the kingdom to beast? Beast is an enemy, right? Until the words of God shall be fulfilled. This is the another fulfillment. Until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The Lord reminded the people of Israel, I destroyed all the enemies for me to fulfill my will for you, where my name is glorified. Amen. The will of the Lord is also fulfilled in the enemy's life, but not to please him, but to protect his people. But the will of God is also fulfilled in the people's life, but to glorify his name and for him to identify himself with them. Do you see judgment is part of fulfillment? If liberty is fulfillment, captivity is also fulfillment. If resurrection is fulfillment, death is also fulfillment. If birth is a fulfillment, then death is also a fulfillment. If joy is a fulfillment, suffering is also a fulfillment. If freedom is a fulfillment, prison is also a fulfillment. Now, verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Why a woman reigneth over the kings of the earth? There was one in the Old Testament, Jezebel. Another, Athaliah. Another, Herodias. But is it representing that woman? Because the church is also compared to a woman. Jerusalem also compared to a woman. So many comparisons in the same bucket. Woman, city, amen? But how the Lord separate? Jesus Christ, Christ means anointed. Antichrist also means anointed. But what type of anointing? Now, chapter 18. Verse 10. Chapter 18, verse 10. Standing afar for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So here, the word Babylon is explicitly addressed, but it is not over yet. Every one of us can bring Babylon in our house. Every one of us can be the city of Jerusalem or city of Babylon. It is not the physical limitation of it. It is a spiritual realization of who we are. Now, verse chapter 18 is here. Verse 16. You look at the way how it is beautifully unfolded. How the Lord calls. Verse 16 says, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen. What? I thought it is going to be some, filthy garments or something, clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, decked with gold, and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried, when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Abraham looked at the two angels walking towards Sodom and Gomorrah. After some time, he saw a great smoke coming from Sodom and Gomorrah. But was he crying, oh, Lot is dead? No. He told the Lord, he knows the Lord will preserve Lot. But he was not allowed to come. He stood there, he was grounded. Now here, this is another smoking. Great city is burnt. But there was a mockery made about the fine linen as well. But what fine linen it is. That is, verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. So this great city, so-called great city, the same mockery was made in the time of Hezekiah, great king Assyria. And the Lord also addressed him, the great king Assyria, to mock. There is only one who is great. How great thou art. Amen. Now verse 21 starts it, and it is beautifully finished in 21 verse 14. Chapter 21 verse 9. This is the chapter the Lord reveals the word what is great to him. Amen. He says, verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Can you speak English? If she is bride, she is not the wife. Yes, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. The word is spoken, it is done, it is finished. She is just waiting for the fulfillment. Bride is our current state. Wife is what the Lord promised, and it is done. Amen. So look at the word is being presented to us. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. A great stone rolled away. Now a great and high mountain. And showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem. All these words, weak, defense, strong, great, doesn't mean anything if that city is not the holy city. What is holy city? Which is ruled by the Holy One. Who is the Holy One? Jesus Christ. If the city is not ruled by Jesus, if your heart, your life, you as a prisoner, not ruled by Him, you can be any city that you can think of. But you are not the holy city. If we are not the holy city, then we are not the great city, book of Revelation 21 says. But we could be the great city, every other chapter addressed towards Babylon. Here it says, the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. From God, that is where the city is beautifully separated. Holy city comes from above. For God so loved the world, gave His only Son. We were all in His mind. We are not from here. We are not from here. Before He laid the foundation, we were in His mind. Amen? Yes. And now, as we close, chapter 21, book of Revelation, verse 22 to 25. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. This is where Trinity or different numbers of representing God is finding its loophole to escape. Or, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. So they separate. A Lamb is separate, the Lord God Almighty is separate. A Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, and the Son of God. Or two in one, three in one. This is the problem of when God uses the hands of men to write the scriptures. And that is why in the gospel, in the letters Apostle Paul wrote, Scripture is written for proof, reproof and correction. Amen. It is not they are one. He is the only one. There is only one. There is only one. There is no two in one. Amen. Now, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, the heaven on earth, and the Lamb, it is the light thereof. There is only one light. Now, 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. Beautiful, verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut. Last two Sundays, I have been addressing a lot of verses to come to this verse. The gate was placed that it won't be shut. In this world, the gate is always shut, closed, isolated. Mine, mine. But in that city, the holy city, where the light is a lamp. Verse 25, the gates of it shall not be shut all by day, for there shall be no night there. We all can work only until there is a day. When the night cometh, no man can work. Now, let's all stand as I want to show some images that we go back to our houses with good thoughts, good questions. And I also encourage you all to meditate these chapters, because during the service, we cannot read all the verses, all the chapters. But if you read, it would be a blessed gathering so that we all can speak about it. Amen? So please run from the rest of the images. So now as we close, no words that we are going to discuss, but I'm going to show you the images. And I pray the Lord bring your heart to gratefulness, thankfulness. What happened, what he did was not something small. Amen? Let's start from here. Look at this picture of a tomb. This is the physical body of Christ. Amen? Covered by physical garment. Are you the body of Christ? Am I the body of Christ? We are all the body of Christ. Covered by spiritually the righteous deeds of saints. And once we are sealed by the Holy Ghost, can you go outside? Can I go outside? Can I open the seal and go outside? Spiritually speaking, I'm dead. So I must be preserved, sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. Which means when the Lord comes, all the tombs will open. Everything will be resurrected. Those are his. Amen? When he died on cross, we know what happened. Tombs were opened. Now, this is the preparation of body for burial. And that stone is what they use it to close. Now, when Jesus resurrected, this stone was rolled away and they came inside. The garment was left behind and the man who was covered in the garment was not there, because it was put by men. It is not the glorious one. Next one. Now, look at this image and I pray that it speaks to your heart. Every time you think that you are sad, lonely, angry, frustrated, things are not happening in what you want, remember, he was crucified, he was buried in a tomb as if he was a weak man. Who? And the book of Isaiah presents him in a way that none of us could understand if he could walk in the midst of us today. Correct? Those people of Israel, they were being warned by Moses. When he died, he warned them. What he said? The Prince of Life is coming, be careful. Joshua died, he warned them. He is coming, be careful. Jeremiah said, he's coming, be careful. But they didn't see that. Why? He came in this fashion, man. A man of sorrows. Not a man of miracles. No form nor comeliness. No beauty. Oppressed, despised, rejected, bruised, stricken, smitten, afflicted. Open not his mouth. The word of God chose to keep quiet when he was questioned. Why? If he speak, everything will fall off. Nobody can stand against him. No man shall stand against Joshua. No man, no power can stand against the word of God. Neither any deceit. He didn't speak anything evil. No gossip, no rumor like what the 10 tribes did to go and kill Reuben and Gad, right? They went to kill them because of the stone. No violence, as a lamb he was slaughtered. Isaiah 53. This is the state of our Lord, who went as a prisoner to the death and he released himself by the power of God by resurrection. The only way the old man of our life can remain dead is that we don't open the stone. And what is the stone? The lively stone, Jesus Christ. On the other side, we are dead. On this side, we are alive. On the other side, he is a stumbling stone. On this side, he is a fountain of living water. If I tell the Lord, I will take care of myself, I am the dead body here. If I tell the Lord, you take care of me, I am outside the prison. Amen? Now, in the old times, there was no tomb. There was no prison. There was nothing for us to understand what the Lord is going to do. A simple golden box made of wood with golden plates and called Ark of the Covenant. Inside, there was 10 commandments because the Lord knows people will violate every one of them, which is nothing but 10 violations for people. Aaron's rod to represent what the Lord is going to do in our life, like a shepherd, like a priest, and also as a judge. Shepherd staff, iron rod, he can comfort, he can judge. Law of Moses, for the Lord to have mercy on people whom the eyes are not opened yet. Whatever the sacrifice they do today, since they do not know the Lord yet, the Lord would still show mercy upon them. Why? He had chosen not to reveal himself to them. Amen? We are finding grace and mercy because of the fall of Jews. Gentiles, we found life. Now, manna, the food that he gave in the wilderness, which had no flavor, no different size, it's constant, no change. That is the truth. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. How come this Ark of the Covenant grew to be a big tabernacle? From now, I'm going to show you the growth of that small tabernacle until today as we are about to close. So this tabernacle was big. Moses, Aaron, they built it as God commanded. But it was the hands of the people that built it. And Moses blessed every one of them because they touched, they put the work for the Lord. And here, we could see the temple is here. There are curtains to cover the tabernacle. There is a court of the tabernacle, brazen laver, slaughter table, brazen altar. There was segment by segment, altar and temple. Before the high priest approached, he has to go layer by layer. Can't jump. Has to go through a process. Because the Lord says, don't die. Don't come and play with me. Don't die. He goes in, comes out, and he died not. This Ark of the Covenant, now we are in the tabernacle. Now I am moving on a much higher scale city. But this city was not there in the wilderness. All they had was a small Ark of the Covenant, and they built a tabernacle. Amen? Then the Lord gave them the promised land. David came, Solomon came, Saul came, they established the city. Josiah came, Nehemiah came, they rebuilt the wall. There was so much repair happened to this particular land. So much repair. Destroyed, burned, repaired. Even today, missiles are falling outside. All around. So, former place of Solomon, this is the sheep gate. We will go there. Why it is sheep gate? And this is the temple. From the wilderness to the gospel time, the temple was there. So the beautiful gate, the lame, all the stories, you know, all happening around there. Now, in the temple mount, we have altar and temple, which resonates what Moses, Aaron did in the Old Testament. Amen? In the wilderness. So when they built huge temple, huge palaces, they wanted to replicate or resonate what was happening in the past. Altar, temple, remember the word. When we sing the song, is my all on the altar of sacrifice? Then who is the temple? Apostle Paul reminds us, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then what is the altar for? In this altar and temple, my brethren, if you look at the city, because since I'm showing you weak city, different city, strong city, great city, but it is actually a city of peace. If it receives the Prince of Peace, then it becomes a holy city. But until then, this city, the temple is here. We have so much divisions, the tomb of Jesus, Golgotha, the lower city, upper city. This is how the Bible records the court of Gentiles, everything. There are so many things. We will go step by step. But I want you all to remember these images as you leave the church today. From Ark of the Covenant, tabernacle, from tabernacle, temple, from temple, I went to a Jerusalem city. And Jesus was buried outside the city. Amen? Now, I just want you to focus on this particular segment. Today, let's say the modern time, the land is claimed by not one group, correct? By multiple groups. Different quarters, different divisions, different gates. The whole place is actually divided to make temporary peace with the neighbors all around. But is it the perfect peace? No. Is it the divine peace? No. Is it the peace from Holy One? No. The divine peace will come when the Holy One comes and do what he will do. When we rely on strength of men, that is not divine peace. So this is how the city is divided today. And they have a wailing wall to meet the requirements of different culture. So, from the tomb of Jesus, please close. From the tomb of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, we are waiting for the coming of Jesus. Ark, tabernacle, wilderness, moved to a promised land thrown into a captivity of Babylon, and in the Second World War, First World War, and all the tragic things that happened to people of God. If you look at everything very deeply, we all could understand that if Jesus had gone through, the bride of Jesus will go through the same. Amen? If the lamb was thrown as a sacrifice, the bride, the wife of the lamb, will also follow the husbandman. If the husbandman is the lamb, then who are you? I pray the Lord bless us as we continue this series. What happens between the tribes? What happened between Jeremiah and his brethren? What happened between the Lord himself and the brethren? Which prison we got ourselves locked in? May the Lord speak to our hearts, and we will continue next week. Amen. May the Lord bless you all. Took some time, but we thank the Lord. Let me close with a prayer. Our Lord, you call all of us to behold the beauty of holiness. But the book of Isaiah says there was no beauty that we could desire. That tells us, O Lord, what is the intent of our heart. What do we want to desire? What is our desire? What we want to receive from you. Lord, may you bless us, Lord, that we are not those people who love the healing from thee, who love the deliverance from thee, who love the revelation from thee, who love all the goodness that comes from thee. But Lord, help us, Lord, to be the people who love thee and who love thee alone, O Lord. You are our everything, O Lord. Everything is in you. You are our inheritance, Lord. You are our promised land. You are our prison. You are our liberty. You are our captivity. You are our leader and you are our, O Lord, the master. You are our shepherd and you are our judge, O Lord. You are our everything, O Lord. May you bless us, Lord, that every one of us standing here today, that we never depart the tabernacle, that we never leave the seal of the Holy Ghost, that we are all shielded, protected unto the day of redemption as a bondservant of Christ, surrounded by the word of God, standing upon the truth of God, hidden by the righteousness of God, the roof of the banner of thy love. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Amen. Speak to us and guide us. Be with us, O Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all.